This morning, we are going to be in the third chapter of the book of Philippians. We're going to study just one paragraph, verses 12 through 16. And the thrust of that paragraph is illustrated by a connection with a number of verses written by or spoken by the Apostle Paul. So let me read just very quickly a number of verses, just parts of these verses, and you try to figure out what is the theme that connects all of these together. In Acts chapter 20, verse 24, Paul said this to the Ephesian elders: I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord. He said in Romans 9:16, so then it does not depend upon the man who wills or the man who runs, but upon God who has mercy. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. In the next verse, he says, every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. In the next verse, Paul says, so I do not run aimlessly. Next, he says, I do not box as one beating the air. In Galatians 2, verse 2, he says, to make sure I was not running or had run in vain. In Galatians 5, 7, he says, you were running well. In Ephesians 6, 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. In 1 Timothy 6, 12, fight the good fight of the faith. And finally, in 2 Timothy 4, 7, he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. So what theme connects all these verses together? I think by now it's probably obvious to you that the theme is athletics. Paul must have enjoyed sports because his writings are full of illustrations and examples of different types of sports. There's wrestling, there's boxing, but there is especially a lot to be said by Paul about the theme of running, especially running the race as a metaphor for living the Christian life. And in the paragraph we're going to study this morning, we're going to find out that it is all about running a Christian race. So let's read Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. He says, not that I have already obtained this, and in the this, he's referring to the prize that's down in verse 14. Not that I have already obtained the prize or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Our Father, this morning, teach us more about running the race of the Christian life from these amazing words penned by Paul 2,000 years ago. We pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. What did all these verses have in common? They all refer to sports. And many of them, including our passage today, compare the Christian life to a race. Paul describes us as spiritual athletes. I'm not making that up. It's clear in this text that he is comparing a physical foot race, probably a sprint. Sometimes the image is of a sprint, and other times the image seems to be of a marathon. Whatever context is, he's comparing running a physical race as a top athlete to running a spiritual race as a Christian athlete. He compares the Christian life to a sprint down a track. So, consider yourself a spiritual athlete. Paul is your coach, and he is giving you advice on how to run the race of this life. What advice does Coach Paul, could we call him that? Because that is what he is here, giving us six rules for running. So what advice does Coach Paul give us about running the race of the Christian life? He gives us six rules to run by, the first of which is this. He says, be honest with yourself. Verse 12. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect. Be honest with yourself. A smart athlete is aware not only of his strengths, but also of his weaknesses. In high school, I played football. Actually, from the age of 10, I played football. And for some of the years, I played defensive back. And if you know anything about football, you know that as a defensive back, you have to cover receivers. Well, I was fairly fast, but I knew sometimes there were guys who could burn me who were on the other team as receivers. And so when I had a guy that I had to cover who was faster than I was, you know what I would do? Because I knew my weakness, I would step back a little further. I'd give him a little bit more cushion, right? So that when he took off running, I could turn, run backward first of all, and then turn and stay with him, hopefully, so that he wouldn't be able to, you know, get a big one and get a touchdown. I'd rather give him more cushion and the opportunity to catch a ball and get a short gain than burn by me and get a long gain. Why did I do that? Because I knew my weakness. I knew sometimes the guy I was covering was faster than I was. Here in verse 12, Paul, thinking as an athlete, is honest about his weaknesses. He wrote this letter 30 years after becoming a believer. Would we say that the Apostle Paul by this time was a mature Christian? Most certainly. And yet, he's honest about his shortcomings. As John MacArthur says, Paul was dissatisfied with his spiritual condition. There was still room for improvement in Paul's way of understanding the Christian life. And he was giving us here a warning. Don't think that you've arrived. The problem that Paul is dealing with here in Philippians is still with us today. You see, in the first century, there were those who were teaching that you could arrive. There were those who were teaching that you could be perfect spiritually. Not only did that exist then, but it exists today. There are many denominations today who teach that you can reach Christian perfection. And this verse, if any verse in the Bible proves that that's not true, it would be this verse. There are many others that I think prove that too. But here, Paul's been saved for 30 years, and he says, I'm not perfect. I wish I were. That's what I'm striving for. This is why I'm running the race, so that I can become in this life perfect. But yet I know I will never attain perfection until I cross the tape. That is, till I move from this life to heaven and finally win the race. Do you realize there are denominations who teach that you can reach perfection? I don't want to make them our enemies. They are our friends, right? These are believers. These are Christians. But I think that this is a subtle danger that we can face in our own thinking as well. Groups like, you know, denominations like the Methodists, the Holiness Movement, Pentecostals, Salvation Army, they all, and there are others, they teach Christian perfection, that you can reach a state where you no longer sin. Paul wasn't that way. That kind of thinking can lead either to pride or to despair. If we feel like we've attained, if we've reached, you know, the ultimate goal, then what will happen? We'll probably end up being hindered in our race. It's kind of like Antonio Brown last week, right? I mean, excellent athlete, but a very proud man, has an argument with the general manager, gets fined because of that argument, and then in a fit of pride-driven rage, he basically ends up quitting the team and being fired at the same time and loses a $29 million contract, all because of pride about his abilities. And he is a really gifted receiver, right? But yeah, that pride did him in. And folks, that can be us too. So on the one hand, thinking that we've arrived can create a pride that is damaging not only to ourselves but to others. And then on the other hand, I mean, if you think that others have attained and yet, woe is me, look at me, I wish I could be like so-and-so. And you compare yourself to the preacher who says, I've made it and I'm no longer sinning, or to your friend who says something like that, then what ultimately happens? You just want to sit down on the track midway through the sprint and give up. Everybody else seems to be making it, living like that, and yet I know that I'm not there. You know what? A mature athlete knows not only his or her strengths, but also his or her weaknesses. Coach Paul is giving us advice about running the race of the Christian life, and he has six rules to run by. The first was, be honest with yourself. Examine what your strengths are and what your weaknesses are and work on those things that need improvement. And then second, his second rule to run by is to be determined not to quit. Look at the second half of verse 12. But I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Being aware of our weaknesses is not enough. We must, according to Paul here, diligently pursue the prize, the goal, which is what? What is our prize? Down in verse 14, what is the goal? It is Christ-likeness. Paul says he wants to press on. That's an athletic term. It's an athletic idea. And it means to strain every muscle, to aggressively go after something. Did any of you run track? Maybe it was in elementary school, junior high, or high school, maybe college. I didn't, but maybe some of you even ran in college. You ever run track? You know what it's like to sprint 100 meters or a 200? I mean, by the time you're at the end of your 200 meter, if you're in a relay at the end of your leg, I mean, you don't have anything left. I mean, when you're running really hard, I mean, I ran a 4 by 100 and a 4 by 200. In other words, a 4 man 400 and a 4 man 800. I ran that with a baton, and you know, you get that baton handed off to you. I was never the last guy because I wasn't the fastest on our team, okay? But I also wasn't the first guy. I was usually the second. I mean, when you get that baton handed off to you, I mean, what goes through your mind? I mean, all your adrenaline is coursing through your veins, and you just want to run absolutely as fast as you can, and you can see the other runners in your peripheral vision, and you're just moving, you're booking, you're straining every muscle to be first, to win the prize for the goal. I And that's what he's saying here. I strain every muscle. I press on to make Christ's likeness my own. The sprinter doesn't sit down in the middle of the race and take it easy. Complacency is not an option. Not quitting. Okay, so you fell down in one race. You get up the next day and you run another race. Who is the best professional basketball player in NBA history? It's debatable, right? There are a few whose names would probably be suggested. I think one of them who would be in the running is Michael Jordan. Okay? Michael Jordan was a phenomenal player. I think I see a couple are like, ah, Jordan, not Jordan. All right, give me a break. All right, so Jordan was certainly one of the best, maybe not the best. You know what? Did Michael Jordan quit as an athlete? He ended up being a phenomenal basketball player, but did you know that his high school basketball coach cut him from the team because he wasn't good enough? Or at least the coach didn't think he was good enough. Jordan was cut from the high school basketball team. He didn't quit. I think, you know, anybody who enjoys the NBA is really glad that he didn't give up. And how many of us maybe have fallen down or had something said to us or whatever the case might be, have some kind of an obstacle in life and just feel like, okay, forget it. I just think I'll sit out here. It'll be over. Well, Paul says, I press on. And I'm straining every muscle. Why? Because I am running a race for Christ. I want to be like him. So he says, don't quit and don't take it easy. Coach Paul is giving us advice about running the race of the Christian life. And he has six rules here to run by. The third one is this. It's found in verse 13. It is to maintain a proper focus. He says, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. In other words, he's repeating, I haven't attained Christ-likeness yet. That's what I'm heading for. It's what I'm running after. But I'm not there yet. But one thing I do. You like that focus? I mean, this is a laser focus. I've got one thing that I do, which is forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Here we have something negative and something positive. Negatively, Paul refused to look back during the race. He made a break, as someone said, with everything in his past. Listen to this last part. He made a break with everything in his past, both good and bad. Both good and bad. He wasn't going to allow past victories to stoke his pride and to cause him or allow him to just take it easy. He's not going to look back at past victories and be hindered because of them, nor was he going to allow past sins to hold him back. He wasn't going to allow guilt to weigh him down. Think of it like this. Each day is its own sprint. Each day is a fresh new race. Looking back is unwise. I mentioned that I was in a 4x4, and both in the 400 and in the 800. And one of the things that we did again and again and again was practice the baton handoff. We were a really good team because our coach just went over this again and again and again. Yes, we worked on improving our speed with weightlifting and also conditioning, but more important probably than The little bit of fine-tuning that our physical bodies underwent was the ability to properly start from the blocks and then to take the handoff. Because at least for most of the teams, the difference in who was going to win was really small. It wasn't a very big difference. And that difference would be made up with a baton handoff. So here's what, you know, I was taught to do. Depending on which hand the other runner had it in, the one before me, I was usually second in the race, I would look back until I had to start. I knew exactly, because of all the practice, when I needed to start. If I started too soon, the runner behind me wouldn't be able to catch me at the end of his leg. If I started too late, then we would lose a lot of time because the runner would catch me and, you know, kind of run into me, and then I wouldn't have gotten to full speed when the baton got handed off. So I knew exactly when to take off. And as soon as I saw that point, I turned my head and I never looked back. You're going to lose the race if you look back to get the baton handoff. You have to trust the guy behind you. So bad, you never look back. You hold your hand out. It. You run with both hands until you know the very last moment. Then you grab that baton, and the whole time, you're not looking at where the guys are in the other lanes. You're not looking back at, you know, the person who's finished his leg. You are running with every single ounce of energy that you can muster in order to get that baton to the next guy. Paul says, again, using athletic metaphors of running a race, I forget what lies behind. I'm not going to let past victory stoke my pride and then make me get complacent and think I can take it easy now. Look at all I've accomplished. No, I'm not there. I haven't attained Christ-likeness, perfection. I haven't finished the race yet. But also, I don't look back upon my past sins and problems, because that is only going to, like a weight around a sprinter's ankles, hold me down, slow me down. Never look back. What else does he say? Always look forward, straining forward to what lies ahead. This speaks to our Christian mission in life. Constantly straining. It's kind of like, you know, I'm looking at the exit sign right now. Straining, focused on each letter in that sign. I can see it very clearly. And it's as if I'm running right toward that sign. That's all. I'm not looking at, you know, where the pews are on the sides. I'm not looking at anyone in the congregation. I'm just looking at the exit sign. Although, in this case, it's not, you know, exit. It's, you know, the finish line of the Christian race. That's my mission in life. I understand my mission, and I keep focused on that goal. I don't forget that goal. Dear brethren, are past victories causing present complacency? Or is guilt about past sin causing you to want to give up mid-race? My friends, strain forward. In your personal race toward Christ-likeness, don't look back. Coach Paul is giving us advice about running the race of the Christian life. There are six rules here to run by. And the fourth one is to, and it's found in verse 14, give maximum effort toward the goal. Let me repeat these points. His first rule, be honest with yourself about your strengths and weaknesses. You're not there yet. There's room for improvement. Number two, be determined not to quit. Don't quit mid-race. Number three, maintain a proper focus. Keep on mission. Keep straining toward Christ-likeness. And then four in verse 14, give maximum effort toward the goal. Not minimal, maximum effort. Here is the key verse to the paragraph. Let's read it. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call. I press on. That wording, again, reminds us of extreme effort, relentless effort. In your Christian walk, are you straining every spiritual muscle for Christ's sake? Now look, we don't earn our salvation. We are given our salvation for free, but that then is asked of us to run the race with diligence. He says, press on, extreme effort, and then toward the goal. His eyes are fixed on the target for the prize. The prize is reaching Christ's likeness in this life. And as one commentator said, also, its eternal benefits. For the upward call. That speaks of the finish line, which is, in our case, what? It's the gate of heaven, isn't it? Ted's there. He's already crossed that finish line. He literally broke the tape of that finish line in his personal race on Friday. In 1954, Roger Bannister, have you heard that name? He was the first man to break the four-minute mile. And when he broke the tape, first man to cross it in under, it was like 3 minutes and 59 seconds. When he broke that tape, he nearly died. Not actually, but I mean, he really broke down. He almost collapsed. He had men on both sides of him trying to help him to walk. I know today that seems silly, but it's because the athletes today are so well conditioned. He was a medical student, and he just happened to be fast, so he was out there on the track running, okay? But he wasn't in the kind of conditioning and practice that runners today would have. And so when he crossed that tape, he was gassed. There was nothing left. He had given it his all. But he made it. Paul says this in 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. At the end of your life, will you be able to say the same thing that Coach Paul said just before his death? 2 Timothy chapter 4 is the last chapter that the apostle wrote before he was executed by the Roman emperor. And he said he knew it was coming. He could see that he was days or weeks from execution. And so he said, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. Precious believers, are you giving maximum effort in your personal race toward Christ's likeness? Coach Paul is giving us advice about running the race of the Christian life. He gives us 6 rules to run by, and the 5th one is to, in verse 15, think like a pro. Think like a pro. He says, let those of us who are mature, those of us who are pros, think this way. Think this way, referring to verses 12 through 14. Think like this. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. So what is the 5th rule? Think like a pro. What is he saying? He's saying to think, that is, continually set your mind on this. Don't forget it. So what is rule number 5? Don't forget all the other rules. Okay? So rule 5 is don't forget the rules. Be reminded. Remind yourself. Don't become a runner who's running. In another verse, he says in a different book, don't run aimlessly. Don't box the air. Don't be silly. Be sober, realize what you're doing. Like a pro athlete, Paul says a mature believer won't let himself forget this advice. Now, question for you. Do all athletes listen to their coaches? Certainly not. Why not? We've all seen it. Sometimes the players think they know more than the coach does. And that's why Paul adds in the second half of verse 15, if in anything you think otherwise, I'm the coach, here are the rules I'm giving you. If you disagree with me in any point, if you think otherwise on any point, God is going to reveal that also to you. You can disagree with me, but God will reveal to you soon enough that I'm right. Okay, so here are the rules to run by. The fifth one was to think like a pro. And the sixth one, finally, is to be a model of consistency. Verse 16. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. To hold true is to be consistent. All right, so let's talk about the race. Sometimes here it seems like the race that he's talking about is a marathon. You're starting here and you're straining with every muscle to eventually reach the gate of heaven. That's where the tape is, you know, stretched across. Then at other times it sounds like he's talking about a sprinter. Don't look back. Keep straining forward. Let's talk about the Christian life the way Jesus does. He says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I mean, we could look back. It's not good. Or, you know, what we could think too far forward and become overwhelmed. Oh, how am I going to get all this done? I can't handle all the pressure. Jesus says, look, just focus on what's happening today. And isn't that a lot of what Paul's saying there when he says, don't look backward, just give. Strain in your sprint, strain forward with everything you've got. You can't run a marathon like that, but you can run a 100-meter like that. Think of every day as a 100-meter. Don't look back on past days, whether it's good things or bad. Don't look back on them. Strain forward. You're running a sprint just today. Now look, someone has said, work hard and play hard and never confuse the two. Okay, when we're running, okay, sometimes, you know, in our lives we might think, you know, workaholic, we should never take a break. That's not what the apostle's saying. Okay, work hard when you're working, work hard, be diligent when you're playing, play hard. Meaning, you know, don't mix work and play. Okay, just, you know, when you need downtime, take it. There's no problem with the Christian taking downtime. In fact, we are supposed to do that for sure once every seventh day. But we're running the race. It's a sprint daily. Every single day is a clean slate. Every single day we have a fresh start. Every single day we should be consistent. Verse 16, consistent. Hold true. Be consistent to what you have already attained. We're all familiar, I think, with the old story of the tortoise and the hare. You know, the tortoise wasn't fast, but that tortoise just consistently went as quickly as possible. Tortoise didn't compare itself with the hare and say, forget it. The hare has so much more talent than I do. Why bother? I'll never beat the hare. It's not how the tortoise thought. The hare, on the other hand, was the model of what not to be. Okay, inconsistent. Running fast and then stopping by the wayside and, you know, taking it easy. I saw the one with Bugs Bunny, so I'm thinking of, you know, sitting by the wayside, you know, and eating the carrots. But, you know, the tortoise and the hare really does teach us a simple moral truth that I think is contained here in these verses, and that is, look, just be consistent every day. You're not going to win this race, the whole thing, in one day. Just keep on moving forward. All Christians, folks, are going to cross the finish line. But according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 and following, some are going to experience momentary regret. I'm going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and read these verses. I'm going to start back in verse 10. This is also a letter written by Paul. He says, "According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid the foundation and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation," so what's the imagery? Jesus is the foundation of the church. Each of us has a job as basically a bricklayer. We are part of this building process. We're working to build the church of Christ. Okay, so as we are working, he says, if anyone builds upon the foundation, if our labors are proper, we're going to build on the foundation of the church of our Lord Jesus with gold, silver, or precious stones. However, those aren't the only building materials that some Christians are going to use. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Every Christian is going to finish the race. When we do snap the tape, when we do cross into heaven, at some point there is going to be an accounting. Jesus our Lord will give an accounting of all of the things that we as believers have done. The image that Paul uses in 1 Corinthians 3 is of an altar, and all of the efforts of all each day of our race are put on top of that, and then fire comes down and burns what's there. For some, gold, silver, and precious stones will be left over after the fire burns those works that they did in testing. But for others, there'll be this massive puff of smoke. Wood, hay, and straw are not going to survive the fires of the accounting that Jesus will give us. So the point that Paul makes in 1 Corinthians 3 is that there are going to be Christians who are certainly going to finish the race, but upon doing so, will snap the tape at the end of the race, and then as they give an account to Christ for how they've run the race, how they've lived their lives, there will be, and I don't think it'll be eternal, but there will be momentary regret. There will be at least a short time when we will understand, look back and think, wow. Think of what could have happened. And now look at what actually did happen. The question at the end will be this: how have you run the race? So let's make it present tense. How are you running the race? Don't forget the six rules that Coach Paul gave us. Our Father, we do pray that today you would help us to think like athletes. Might we today be honest with ourselves. might we be determined not to quit. Lord, help us to maintain a proper focus. We pray that you will, by your grace, Lord, we need you. We cannot do this, of course, by our own, but by your grace, we can give maximum effort toward the goal. Help us not to forget these things, but to remember them, to remember the basics like the pros do. And then, Lord, may we be models of consistency. We pray in the name of Jesus, the one for whom we're running. Amen.